I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great. Thank you. And I'm going to turn it over to Kim.
Great. So thanks, everybody, for coming. Kind of my job tonight is to set the stage for where we are procedurally, you know, the super interesting lawyer stuff that everybody gets very excited about. Just to kind of set the context for where we are as the Gardens is moving forward with the expansion, and then kind of talk about the process for what we're doing tonight and how you all can provide your comments both tonight and in the coming days as well. So, as you may know, since 2004, the Botanical Garden Society has managed the site. And in 2015, we began this process of really undertaking the development of the expansion plans at the site. We needed to accommodate growing public demand and the need for accessible spaces, and Aaron will get into all of those fun details in a little bit. But to move the project forward now, after the evolution that's been occurring over the past several years, we now need to move forward with what's called the State Environmental Quality Review Act. You may hear that talked about sometimes, you hear people call it SEQR, really to get to final design approval and final funding for the project, we need that process to be completed. The Erie County Legislature intends to act as what's called the lead agency for this process in a coordinated review. So this review happens with all of the what's called interested and involved agencies that may have some type of approval related to the project, and the legislature intends to lead that process to determine whether there are any adverse impacts to the environment from the project. So tonight, this informational session is kind of in connection with that SEQR process. We're partnering with the county to kind of give you an update as to where everything stands and to receive some comments as well. But this certainly is not the first point in this process. As we've moved towards the expansion, that the Gardens has sought public input or provided updates to the public. I think since this began back in 2015, the Society and the Gardens have tried to really keep everybody in the loop, stakeholders in the loop, the public in the loop, with letters, updates on social media, news articles, to let everybody know what's going on as the process has evolved. In 2017, the Gardens actually undertook a feasibility study with the help of an independent consultant. And at that time, there was significant outreach to a number of stakeholders. I think there was a digital survey that went out to over 2,000 people who were in some way connected with the Gardens to really get input on what the vision was for what should be part of the expansion. Obviously, Aaron and the staff have an idea of what they view the needs as, but trying to seek that input from the public as well. And then also throughout this process, the Gardens has been acting in consultation with the State Historic Preservation Office, obviously given the historic nature of the site, to ensure that the expansion fully preserves that historic character. So this is really a continuation of that engagement process as we're now moving into the SEQR review. So in September of this year, the Gardens provided the county all the materials they need to kick off that SEQR process, something called an environmental assessment form, and some backup information and a description of everything we're trying to do with where the design's at now. And that will help the county legislature move through this process. That information has been circulated by the county to the other interested and involved agencies, and they've also indicated their intent to act as lead agency. So Mark's here, the county Department of Environmental Planning has been great. Dan Castle and Rich Stanton from the attorney's office are also here. They've been wonderful partners in working together, both as this expansion process has developed and now through the SEQR part of the process as well. So we really greatly appreciate their partnership in this effort. So moving forward with this meeting, Aaron will give all the details on the project overview. Wendell will speak to that as well as the engineer and architect for the project. And then once this kind of portion of the overall presentation is done Anyone can move over to the boards, take a closer look if you haven't had a chance to do that already. The consultant team will be over there to answer any questions you may have. And then we'll just ask, there's QR codes and forms to submit written comments. If you have any comments, please submit them, whether it be via the website or in writing. We are going to compile all of those and draft responses to all of them. That'll be included in all of the materials that go to the legislature for review, so we encourage you to do that. And the county also, that website that you can access through the QR code, will remain open for comments. So if you don't have one today, but you think of one after the fact, please visit the website. The Gardens will also post a link on its social media and website to get to that page as well, so we encourage you to do that. And that will be open until October 30th to submit comments. So with that lovely procedural overview, I will now turn it back to Erin for the information I know everyone's waiting for.
All the fun stuff. Okay, so you all know, right? We are a nonprofit organization, but we manage a county-owned building. So that's why we're here today with the county. We're working in partnership with the county, and Kim is absolutely right. We are so grateful for the county's partnership through this project. It's been a lot of fun, but there's been a lot of things that have come up that we've had to sort of pivot and figure out. So that's why we're here tonight. Project history, Kim did sort of mention back in 2015, I think maybe the four of you remember when this all started, right? We have some great volunteers here tonight. We did a master plan study in 2015, and then 2017 we did a feasibility study and really canvassed the whole community to find out if this is something they would be interested in, would they support it, what do they think about it, and gathered those results. And during that time, so between 2016 and 2019, just want to sort of talk about the need. Like, why are we doing this, right? Where our visitation grew by 63% in those years. And the reason I went back to 2019 is because we all know what happened in 2020 and we don't really want to talk about it, right? So we're kind of focusing on what got us here and what got us to this project. So we were growing like crazy. We still are. Our education programs grew by 52%, and since 2019, over 500,000 people have been here to the Botanical Gardens. That's a pretty big number, pretty impressive. So the community is engaged, they are coming, they're visiting, and they're enjoying it. In 2019, we sold out every single event we had. We had, like, outgrowing every single space we could possibly imagine. We were at 100% capacity for on-site programming for students. We still are turning schools away for programs for field trips to come to the gardens and enjoy our hands-on programs. We have, you know, some pretty insufficient modern amenities. Our conservatory is amazing, but when you walk in that front door, everyone kind of does one of these, like, what do I do? Where do I go? It's not as an accessible entrance either. It's kind of a far walk from the parking lot. It's a small space. We need more space to accommodate all the visitors that are coming. On the project history, so here we are at 2019. This is where we hired an architect to do the study and create a vision in 2020, COVID hit. And then 2021, we had to scale back sort of what our grand visions were to fit into a more sustainable project. And so it would fit within our budget because of what COVID did to everything in the universe, right? In 2023, we hired a new architect, Wendell, and they're all here tonight, but they have been amazing partners through this process. And they really have brought us to a much more sustainable approach through this new building, as they'll talk a little bit more about when you go over to talk with them and later in the presentation. And then right now we're working on the project, the studies and design work is happening right now between 2023 and 2024. And along this whole time, like Kim had mentioned, we've been engaging the public. We've been shooting out information about where we are. We haven't really had renderings to share because we kind of got stalled up back in the 2020 era. So right now we are ready to share more with you and where we are with this project because we're feeling so much more settled with it and ready to move forward. The project will be, we are renovating, we're not demolishing anything. We are renovating over 14,000 square feet of existing space. There is a building, it's like a 1960s building right behind the conservatory that houses, we have greenhouses, and it's all production space that we use from an operation perspective. That whole building is going to be renovated and reused. We'll use the greenhouses for production and horticulture, and then the interior spaces will be renovated to accommodate the events, some of the restrooms for the event spaces, some offices, and some more functional operation space. And then we're adding 16,000 square feet of new space. This is a brand new building, and that will connect the old building that we're renovating with the conservatory. So it'll land sort of in the middle, and I'll show you that in a minute. And this expansion and renovation, it'll feature a relocated accessible entrance. We work here every day, and the number of people who automatically walk through the parking lot and want to enter the gardens back here is many, many times a day. So we kind of wanted to embrace that. People are automatically doing that anyway. And it's also a much more accessible to the parking lot and closer. We are going to add state-of-the-art classrooms for education and community meetings, being able to have a space that's conditioned, air-conditioned, heated, not dirty like a greenhouse, where we kind of put all of our stuff right now and have all of our programs. Modern event spaces, which will house weddings, events, rentals, maybe the orchid show. I'm just saying, our orchid friends are back here. Conferences, meetings, where the space will accommodate up to 300, but is divisible in a third, like two-thirds and one-third, so we could have two events simultaneously happening at the same time. We will have expanded outdoor gardens, so we'll actually have a protected courtyard, which I can show you in a minute, and over there. That'll be great, so we can welcome new art exhibits, traveling exhibits. We'll have more of a secure, protected outdoor space. We're going to bring in new exhibits, like I just mentioned. Modern and growing spaces to support our plant collection. So the new building also provides us an opportunity to move plants from the greenhouses to the conservatory without going outside. And I know our volunteer friends know what that's like when you're moving tropical poinsettias from this greenhouse in November to the conservatory. It can be a little dicey, and the plants don't love it. So we're creating a much more seamless transition for our plant collection. Adding an expanded gift shop for more revenue-generating opportunities for us, and gender-neutral restrooms, which we don't have right now, and we think are an important amenity to add, and also a cafe. So here is the site plan. So the new construction is this building right here, and the renovated spaces are this building and greenhouse right here. So 16,000 square feet here, and then 14,000 square foot there. Here is the protected interior courtyard. This is new parking for special events, staff and volunteers. And the new entrance will be right up here next to, adjacent to the parking lot you all probably parked in tonight. With a really great close drop-off zone. And just to orient you, we're like right here, sitting right there. So this top rendering is of the new building. This is the new entrance that would be, like, if you turned around, it would be right there outside. And you can kind of see the scale of how much smaller it is to the conservatory. It will sit and sort of sink behind the conservatory, and it won't compete with the view of what you're going to see when you pull into South Park. You won't be able to see it behind the conservatory. And it's also built into the earth. So this first floor is dug. We're going to dig into the earth so it'll be a two-story building, but the top floor will be at ground level when you're behind the conservatory, if that makes sense. And then this is the view from South Park if you're looking back at the new space. This is the new 16,000 square foot space. On the top floor is the event center, and on the bottom floor are the classrooms, and this is the back of the gift shop. All right, so what is this going to do? What is our future impact if we build this building? We'll be able to hold concurrent field trips and many, many, many more students. We can have them back to back and many multiple a day. We'll be able to offer summer camps and after school programs, which is something we can't offer right now because we just don't have the spaces to do it. expanded support for teachers to really support the New York State Generation Learning Standards, which is really important to us and through all of our programming. We will also have expanded exhibits, outdoor gardens, and continue to connect people to the natural world. Expanded event spaces. This is like my favorite picture in the universe. Like, we're so happy and just loving to be here. This is one of our favorite couples to work with. But this just speaks to the joy people feel when they're here, and especially when they get married. And this is what we're answering back to the public. Like, this is the space you want. You want to get married here. You want to have events here. You want to come on a field trip and experience the botanical gardens. So we'll be able to do concurrent events, concurrent education programs, offer all those beautiful modern amenities that other museums offer that we just don't have right now, because we're existing in a beautifully historic 124-year-old building that just doesn't accommodate for those, you know, the future needs of everyone in the community. And we also think it'll be a catalyst to attract tourists, and they'll stay longer. You all will come and visit, you'll stay longer, you'll grab a bite to eat, you'll visit the conservatory, you'll hang out in the outdoor spaces, you'll spend the day rather than maybe an hour. This is going to, again, like I've mentioned, we're answering back to the community and supporting what they're telling us that they need. It'll provide us a secure future going forward, financial sustainability, and you know, really just ensuring that this amazing conservatory is here for another 124 years. That's our responsibility as, you know, the nonprofit that operates this beautiful place, and supporting the county through all of the efforts that we put forth. Project today, like Kim mentioned, the seeker package was delivered in September. We're having this information session tonight. And then as we move forward with the project, we will provide information to the public through social media, on our website. Stop by and see me, we'll talk about it. And if you have comments, we'd love you to, you know, put them down in writing, scan the QR code, and tell us what you're thinking about the project and how you're feeling about it, because we're excited. And that's all I have. Okay, and with that, I think we're moving over to Wendell. Yes. To Ann.
Thank you. I'm speaking on behalf of everyone. We have a really great team, so I'm just one speaker on behalf of a really talented team of architects and engineers who have been working on this project, as Aaron mentions, since early last year. So it's come a long way in a short period of time.
Yep.
excuse me. So as you walked in, as Aaron set me up for great success here with what I have to talk about, you'll notice the big giant hill that kind of goes up and meets to the ground level of the conservatory. So one of the best strategies we think of this design is building into that hill so that this addition is really a low profile, non-competing design with this treasured historic building that we have here that everybody associates, you know, with the botanical garden. So one of the first most important points I have to make is that, especially as you approach from South Park, this building is sunken into the earth, and it's two stories, but that second story is really at grade with the conservatory. You will not see this building. You will have no impact to the historic 1900 glass conservatory. So we think that that was really important to the society and to the community. Another important thing, obviously, is just getting people in. We have little tiny people. We have very seasoned seniors who come here, and they need accessibility. So this is really addressing a very big need of this project to get people into the building safely. School bus drop-off right now is a challenge because kids have to cross this access road that cuts through the site. So that condition will be completely amended with the new setup. On top of that, we think the design is really exciting. So we've chosen a palette of materials that's really compatible with the campus here. They're very natural looking. The exterior of the addition is a fiber cement panel, which comes, we've used several different finishes to kind of break up the facade, but they're all very deeply rooted in organic colors. Where that addition meets the conservatory, there is a glass vestibule, so that you sense that transition into the glass conservatory. There's a language there that relates to where you're headed. One of the other things that you might have questions about is how we chose where to put windows and glazing around the addition. So We really focused on energy efficiency with this building. It is a requirement of the county to have it LEED accredited, so it will be a LEED. We're slated for a LEED silver certification. We're always trying to get more points, but that's where we're on track today. And our windows are really focused in the spaces for people. So they face out into the west, out onto South Park, as you see in the west facade rendering. And those are the spaces Aaron mentioned that are the event space and the two classrooms at ground level. So those kids can just pour right out and have an outdoor classroom right at their fingertips any day that they visit. One of the other features of the design is this undulating roof, and hopefully it looks familiar because it is an homage to the greenhouses and all the gables that you see on site that date back to 1905. So like I said, we have a building that was built 124 years ago. Building science has come quite a long way since then. So we're using complementary materials and new building science in this addition to really have a learning classroom. One other structural note is that it's a heavy timber construction. So there's a relationship back to the original building that might not be obvious, but in the glass conservatory, we have a very honest steel structure and a glass shell. And in the new addition, we have what will be exposed timber at the columns and at the and actually across laminated timber floor structure that you'll see as you enter the building. So we're really excited about that. You'll see the grains in the wood of these trees that is a very renewable resource now and very, you know, it really is cutting edge building technology using one of our oldest resources on earth that we're very excited to showcase in this addition. As Aaron mentioned, we're also utilizing what we have. So we're renovating that grow range building that was formerly a utility building into space for people. So that'll be a little more back of house, administrative and toilet rooms. But we think it really goes really solidly with the mission of Botanical Gardens to reuse what we have and give it new life instead of, you know, just creating this big new building that's all fresh. It's got a story that's intact. Among the other items that, you know, we wanted to achieve here were the spaces that Aaron mentioned. So you're sitting in the space right now that's used for everything. This is a classroom, this is a meeting space, this is, you name it, it's here. They have the plant sale here. Now we have so much more breathing room to provide a platform for all of those different events. I could probably talk for a lot longer, but I should probably wrap it up. So all of our engineers, and we have another architect here, will be stationed along the boards. We really welcome your comments. We'd love to hear from you. And I think the last point that I'm beholden to make is that there will be no effect to the golf course.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for coming. We invite your comments. Like we've all mentioned, QR codes are located over here if you want to do them digitally. If you'd like to do them on paper, we also have some comment cards here, and you can leave them with us, and we will add them to the comment stack that we're going to get back. And if you have any other questions, we're here to answer what you need. Okay. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Donald, the president of the Orchard Society, and we take care of the collection here. I put on a great orchid show twice a year. If you haven't been, you all need to come because it's beautiful, and you won't see another one like you do here. But, if I can point where access is for us now that all my vendors back up to and unload, because we exhibit in the greenhouse, and I'm wondering where is the entrance for a truck to back up with crates and crates of orchids, and I mean, I have vendors that come from out of state. Most of them are in Ohio. They're driving 6 hours to get here. It takes us 8 hours easy to set up an exhibit. And I'm wondering, where is the access for us to the conservatory?
It would remain the same, Donna. It would remain the same. It would remain in the same spot. So that's a protected space, and you'll be able to drop off right over there. But those are the logistical things. There's a number.
Is there going to be a road there?
Yeah, it's a parking lot, and there'll be a sidewalk that goes right to House 10. And those are some of the logistical things. There's, you know, a long list of logistical things we need to address and kind of think through, and we'll work with all of our partners to make sure that we have the right accessibility and access that you need. But definitely it will be, that would be the same for you for the, in that instance, that would be the same.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.